Burlesque probe started by chief and by recorder. The Atlanta Constitution, Sunday, the 23rd of November, 1913, page 1, column 1. Order goes forth that costumes must not be too abbreviated and no girls under 16 employed. Shows are very tame when Beavers appears. Chief makes round of the houses Saturday night and finds chorus girls demurely clad. Alleged burlesque naughtiness is being probed in Atlanta. Chief Beavers, one of his trusty men, and recorder Nash Broyles have shouldered muskets in the war against rumored conditions in low-priced vaudeville and burlesque theaters in the city. The first skirmish in the battle to end theatrical vulgarity and the appearances of young girls on local stages has already been fought. The big battle will probably be fought this week in police court. Plans of the campaign were made known last night by Chief of Police Beavers. The head of the police force acknowledged that for some time past his aides have been reconnoitering the position of the managers conducting the cheap vaudeville and burlesque theaters of the city. He intimated that action could be expected during the present week. Arthur at work. Edward Arthur, a private official of Recorder Broyles Court, has been working on the burlesque and vaudeville situation here for several weeks. His map of conditions is now ready for presentation to his commanding generals. His scouting took him over the theatrical ground in and about Atlanta for the past 2 weeks, and his findings will be ready for Chief Beaver's inspection soon. The evils that have been most frequently reported to police headquarters in the burlesque and cheap vaudeville field have been the employment of young girls and the presentation of obscene performances. Last night, in company with a Constitution reporter, Chief Beavers visited the Columbia Burlesque Theater in Wall Street and the Princess Burlesque Theater in Whitehall Street. When the chief arrived at the Columbia, his presence was instantly noted by the management, who saw the chief standing in an aisle watching the performance intently. "This is the tamest show we have had here in weeks," said Frank Hammond, speaking for the Columbia management. As the chief gazed at the stage, he saw various and sundry maidens, arrayed in long, flowing robes, skipping from side to side, doing what is termed a scarf dance. The movements of the maids were neither suggestive nor timid. In fact, the show could have been called exceedingly tame without stretching the imagination. College boys, kid actors. Two comedians, one a German and one a Jew, made the chief laugh. After a few minutes, it was suggested that the chief take a look at the Princess Theater. As the chief entered the house, the audience was mostly composed of college boys. The audience insisted on kidding the show, hilariously remarking upon the Juno-esque proportions of the leading lady. When a blackface comedian told some rather broad jokes, the audience howled its delight in terms unmistakable. When the chief left the theater after witnessing a tame ending to the performance, he met Frank Hammond, the secretary to the mayor, just outside of the door. Mr. Hammond, who had acted as spokesman for the Columbia management, and the chief had a talk by themselves to one side. As the chief started for his automobile, he met Edward Arthur, the police court officer who has been privately investigating the burlesque houses. The two were joined by the patrolman on the beat, who remarked to the chief that the manager of the Princess had cut the show after he heard that you were coming. Arthur told the chief that the show had been widely cut from the performance of the evening before by his Arthur's orders. At the conclusion of the inspection trip, the chief refused to make a statement. His one comment during the tour was when he commented on the action of the crowds in the Princess Theater and joshing the show people. "I shall have to put an officer here," he remarked. "If the audience insists on rough conduct, must keep the law," Chief Beavers said later at the police barracks. "Just as soon as evidence can be obtained, cases will be made." Rumors have been coming to police headquarters frequently of theatrical conditions in Atlanta. The investigator is, in a word, purely an effort to either verify or disprove the reports that have been brought in official notice. I hardly think, though, that the situation needs reform as much as rumors indicate. It is the duty of the police to see to it that there is no obscenity on the stage, no erotic or suggestive performances, and that girls under 16 are not permitted to perform. If we should find such conditions existing in any theater in Atlanta, both the management of the troupe and theater would be put under arrest and arraigned before the recorder. Recorder Nash R. Broyles is also playing an active hand in the investigation. He conferred with Chief Beavers at the time the movement was projected. It was he who selected Arthur for the work, giving the investigator instructions of the manner in which it was deemed best to probe continued on page 2. Page 8, column 3. Burlesque probe started by Chief Seed. He told the reporter Saturday night that although he did not believe conditions were as bad as painted, there undoubtedly was room for reformation in theatrical conditions. "Vulgar and suggestive performances should not be allowed," he stated. They are ruinous to both the young and mature mind, and the actors and actresses who participate in them soon become no better than the performance. Obscene jokes will not be permitted, and neither will the over-brevity of costume, conferred with Broyles. Chief Beavers is handling the situation. I know but very little of it, except for the fact that the chief conferred with me at the time the investigation was started. I advised him along lines which I thought would be effective, and suggested Arthur for the work. Frequently since then, Arthur has told me of his progress and findings. In numerous instances, Arthur has told me that he talked with the management of theaters which he considered were giving performances too suggestive or obscene. In each case, I was told, the management readily agreed to cut the objectionable lines and performances. In instances like these, I do not think cases should be made. The stage is a medium through which we can either construct or ruin. We cannot permit it to become contaminated. I think, however, that the management of every house in Atlanta will cooperate with the police department in this movement. At present, there are less than 10 vaudeville and moving picture theaters in Atlanta, and only 2 burlesque houses. Most of this number are situated on Whitehall Street, one on Peachtree, one on Wall Street, and another on Marietta Street. These do not include the Negro vaudeville theaters on Decatur and other streets. Page 33, column 5. Judge Nash Broyles explains finding girl recorder. Nash Broyles yesterday sent to the Constitution the following communication in explanation of his action in finding Miss Lee Willard Austin, who struck a taxi driver claiming that he had persistently annoyed her. Editor Constitution, there seems to be some misapprehension about the case of the young woman who was fined the other day for beating a white chauffeur with her umbrella on the public streets of the city. This case was written up in sensational style as that of a woman being fired for defending herself from a master, whereas it was a very different case. The evidence showed that a white chauffeur, making a living by driving a taxi cab, and located near the corner of Lucky and Broad Streets, had hollered out to Miss Austin as she walked by his place of business, "Taxi cab! Taxi cab! We want a taxi cab!" Miss Austin testified that for several months this man had annoyed her and other girls by calling to her in this manner every time she passed his place of business, but that he had never attempted any other familiarity. On this occasion, as soon as he spoke to her, she lit in on him with her umbrella, striking him several times over the head and causing a large crowd to gather to watch the fracas. I thought it very doubtful if the chauffeur intended any familiarity with the young woman, but fined him a small amount for annoying her by so persistently calling out to her, "Taxi, want a taxi," whenever she passed by. I fined the young woman in a still smaller amount, $3.75, for taking the law into her own hands and creating an unnecessary disturbance and excitement on the street. I say unnecessary, for she could easily have gotten a policeman in a few seconds and had her annoyer arrested. Instead, she referred to take the law into her own hands and create a scene. Raps law violators. We have policemen and courts to punish people who violate the law. Two wrongs never make a right. It was wrong for this chauffeur to annoy Miss Austin, and I fined him for it. It was wrong for Miss Austin to fight him instead of calling a policeman, and I fined her for it. I am sworn to uphold the law, and I intend to keep my oath whether the offender be a man or a woman. There are too many violations of law now in our city and all over our country. Our citizens should help to uphold the law, and when they see someone violating it, they should call a policeman and let the law punish the offender instead of taking the law into their own hands, thereby violating the law themselves. And it is no excuse, because this second breaker of the law happens to be a woman.